I have too many thoughts going on, but I want to talk a little bit about the Lord, but I also want to talk about something else. Blessed be the Lord, this is Psalm 68, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation. Little child of God, the Lord is blessing you every day, whether you may not realize it or not. And a lot of times we get blessed, we don't even know it. If we would stop and consider what the Lord has done for you, you know, I believe it was Daniel told that Belshazzar that your breath was in the hand of the Lord. He was describing the Nebuchadnezzar and what the handwriting on the wall. Our breath is in the hand of the Lord. But sometimes, like Israel, we limit the Holy One of Israel. How do we do that? We talked a little bit about strongholds. And I thought about these, you know, the 12 spies went out. Moses sent the 12 spies, and they all 12 came back, and two of them, we've heard this weekend. So it's a good land. We're well able to take it. Let's go. Let's get it. They trusted God. The other 10 limited the Holy One of Israel. We can't do it. There's giants over there. We're like grasshoppers. How often do we limit the Holy One of Israel? I can't. I won't. I'm not able. Well, let's look at some of the things that the Lord has done for us. And Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And he's fixing to tell us what some of those benefits are. You know what? I looked this up and wrote it. Several months ago, bless the Lord means adore abundantly. That word abundantly has come up several times during this meeting. Adore abundantly. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Isn't that awesome? Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is yours. I looked at the end of the book. We win. Amen. Our battle is the Lord's. Our problem is we limit the Holy One of Israel. And oh, by the way, we have an adversary who helps us limit the Holy One of Israel. Yeah, I want to go to Job chapter 1. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. Are you thankful for that? Amen. The Lord is merciful. And gracious. Doesn't end there either. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. At verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Thank God. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'm sure you've heard that preached 100 times. It's removed. It's gone. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Verse 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Now, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. We have enjoyed this meeting abundantly. The Lord has blessed us, been with us. But there are several places in the scriptures that tell us, well, we should warn the church. Particularly in a meeting like this, we've been on the mountaintop. We can expect to be let down a bit. Now, Satan is real. The Lord warned Peter in Luke chapter 22. Satan has desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat. And he has desired to have you and me. And it may not occur with you, but he usually gets in the car with Sister Kathy and I on the way to church. I told her a while ago on the way up here, pull this car over and let him out. Because it was starting. Amen. God is so good. Amen. But that's what we need to keep our minds focused on. He'll be there. He's very subtle. But you know, we give him a lot of credit. Sometimes it's not him. Sometimes it's just us. Apostle Paul had the same problem in Romans chapter 7. I don't think he mentioned Satan in that whole chapter. It's our flesh. We are but men, but we serve an awesome God. We're warned in 2 Peter chapter 5, the elders are warned, that Satan is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We need to be aware of our adversary. And just got to, I've heard it said before, it might have been Brother Allen, you just crack the door a little bit, he gets a toe in there. And what can he do? He can destroy your joy. And he does. He can't drag you to hell. But he can destroy your peace and your joy. Sometimes we need to think of the simpler things. And Brother Brad mentioned God's creation, and while he was talking about that, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I want to say this, because sometimes we just stop and think that God is in control. God has created everything. It's Colossians. It says everything was created for him and by him, and everything consists by his power. I told you I retired. And I do a little bit, mess with cattle a little bit with my little herds mixed with my brother-in-law's bigger herd. And we're on Brother Glenn's farm. It's been in the family since 1931, I think. Little place out there. And we bought some heifers together. Now these are little female cattle that have never had a calf. We were down to the last one. I had lost 2 calves already. We weren't active in making sure what time that they were let in with the bull. So they were too young. We lost 2. Last one's about to calf. What's this got to do anything? Well, I want you to understand God and his power. My mother-in-law called and said, it looks like that calf, a heifer is about to calve. We went over there. Okay, she's possibly about to. We probably got an hour. We went home for 45 minutes, come back. She's in the barn, and there's a little red and white calf laying under her. Alive. Cleaned up. Mama is standing over it, making these little mooings, little soft mooing sounds. Calf not getting up, but he's trying to. How does that cow, that little heifer calf, cow, know to take care of that baby? That right now, that little calf, about 2 months old, knows his mama amongst the whole herd out there. That little heifer cow knows its baby from all them other babies out there. It won't let another nurse. I was standing there behind my shop, and I saw that heifer running toward the pond. Something's going on. So I walked out. They weren't with the herd. That little calf had bawled. And Mama was going to see what was wrong. Next thing I know, she and the calf are walking back up toward the herd. I didn't teach them that. You know, humans don't have that much sense. Cattle do. Birds do. You know, does it seem awesome to you to go out there and prepare a little piece of ground and plant a little seed and come back a few days later and there's a plant? Maybe a few weeks later there's a vegetable growing on it or a fruit? I didn't do that. God did it. It's His creation. It rains. Does that seem awesome? Well, there's one place here, I don't know where it's at, but I heard Brother Gus preach on this at the other building several years ago. The oceans never fill up. I believe he called it the hydrological cycle or something. It rains and it dries up, but the oceans never fill up. Thank you. Yes, Ecclesiastes. Things that are just too awesome for me to understand. God's in control. Amen. It seems like He might not be sometimes because there is evil in the world. Amen. But where did, I think we mentioned this trust in God. There's a place over here, I don't know if I can find it. Psalms 56, David. I don't know if it's David that says this or not, but he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Do we have fears? Job. They met together. And who shows up? Satan. And it goes over and says, you know, I want to mention this. Job had some fears. And the Lord had a hedge about him. Well, how can you say he had fear? Because he offered sacrifices for his children. Maybe they cursed God. Maybe they cursed just in case they did. And he said it did this. He did this continually. Now, you know the conversation and the condition of Job and how he lost everything. And which I was talking to somebody this morning before services. There's always somebody that has it worse than you do. We like to have pity parties and feel sorry for ourselves. Let me tell you, there's always somebody that has it worse than you do. Job had it pretty bad. I mean, the door wasn't closed till somebody else was coming to tell him something bad's coming. Something bad happened, and it just happened, and it happened, and it happened. And then he had boils. Now, I find it interesting in chapter 3, verse 25, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is coming to me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Brother Brad mentioned it, trouble will come. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But you can trust that the Lord delivers and will deliver, and yet will deliver. I got a stammering tongue. I confess that. I told you the other night. The Lord delivers. I was not in, there's a fear there. That fear, you know, it says that the captivity of Job was the word released when he prayed for his friend. Satan was there. I think Satan was there with his miserable comforter friends. You know, what did you do, Job, to deserve this? You did something. We think that, don't we? Well, there's old brother so-and-so over there. We know what he did. He did something. I know that's coming on him. He quit going to church and see what happened. You know. I need to learn them. In their scripture, it says, mind your own business. In my terms. Thank you. There you go. Now there is some instruction over in Jude, if I can find Jude, where I think we ought to reach out to folks. What else is Jude's missing from my Bible? It was in here this morning. It's just one chapter, so it's... Nobody's going to help me. There it is. Thank you. Revelations. Back one, right. And it talks about judgment. Talks about the angels that fell. Talks about false prophets, if you will. Talks about Balaam and Cain. And the gainsaying of Korah. Go over and read that sometime. It'll tell you where it's at. It's in number 16. It's too much to get involved in. But they were basically aggravating Moses. They didn't like Moses having all the power. And God dealt with it severely. Now, he talks about them being spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds that are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. Says Enoch prophesied about them, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. There's judgment coming. There was judgment on, I believe it mentions Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what? It also said other cities. Not just Sodom and Gomorrah that was destroyed. There was other cities. I don't see that right now. It's Book of Jude. There's only one chapter. You can find it if you care to read it. What I want to get to is this. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves. It goes back to what we think and how we think. I think sometimes there's a fear put in us if we don't go to church, God's going to get us. And I'm not, that's not, don't say Brother Don gave me the excuse not to go to church. You ought to be in church. Amen. The church needs you and you need the church. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference. There's folks there that we ought to have some compassion on. Sometimes we ought to be planting seeds, folks, not to grow vegetables, but to grow little children of God. You see, you don't get an oak tree, Brother Randy, if you plant the seed today. But you can plant a seed amongst God's people, and you may not know who they are. Some kind word, an invitation to church, a little verse. That one you gave us, I've told some of you about having a conversation with a complete stranger. And a man walked up behind us. I knew he was there, but this was the verse. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I was saying that to this man. He was waiting at the VA to see about some benefits. The guy behind me says, oh, thank you. I forgot that. You see, what happens when we use the word? I told you the other night, the word of God works. Sometimes little children of grace just need a word. They know God. They just need to know more about Him. And if some have compassion making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know, there's sometimes we, I don't know how to explain that. But have you ever seen someone that you just know their life is a train wreck? And they're not doing anything to make it any better. I've worked with some folks like that. You see them headed, and then the bridge is out, and they're headed right for it, and they're not even slowing down. They might even be accelerating. You can help them by warning them. What are they doing or not? It's on them. You need to change your ways. I think there's a scripture about that. Change your ways. Oh, I can almost remember where it's at, but nevertheless. Now unto him that is able. There's that word, that term again. To keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We could have used exceeding abundantly joy, I guess. With exceeding joy. He's able. And he will. It says in Hebrews, I think it's chapter 6, he's a rewarder of them. Oh, who diligently seek him. You've got to have faith, though. In Romans chapter 8, it says something to this. He who's in the flesh cannot please God. Well, you got quiet. Do you want to please God? Then don't be in the flesh. Now, we can elaborate on that a little bit, but it's about time to quit. To the only wise God, our Savior. I want to go back to to nature. And I'm not giving credit to Mother Nature. I'm giving credit to God. Those little, even wild animals, know better than to do some things. They know. It's Isaiah chapter 1. The ox knoweth its master. What's Israel's problem? They refuse to obey. Jeremiah over there says, seek ye the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your soul. Sometimes they just didn't want it. What was it, Satan? Or was it them? They said, we're not walking. It was their choice. What's the problem? They've forgotten God. They got prosperous. Sometimes prosperity can bring destruction. you're not giving the credit to God. I appreciate every sermon, especially that one yesterday about the 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. That still applies today. You know, it could start right here with one of you or all of you. You got a concern for your church? Well, I think most of us do. Pray. Pray. You got a concern for your family? Pray. Concern for your nation? Pray. It has been a wonderful meeting, and I pray God will be with you tomorrow. We'll have to be at Tuttle tomorrow, but God bless you, and may He be with you. I'm reminded that the Lord bless thee and keep thee. It's Numbers chapter 6. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you.